Hi, this is my favourite Elliott Smith song. This podcast is all about trying to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive in our own very small way. And we do that by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, and welcome to our sixth episode of the season. Our guest for this one is Lily O'Farrell. Lily, who you might know by her online name Vulgar Drawings, is a feminist cartoonist and writer. And in addition to this work, she recently put out a great podcast series called No Worries If Not, which is all about internet culture and how it affects women and non-binary people. Lily is also a huge Elliott Smith fan. She's such a big fan, in fact, that during the dark days of the COVID pandemic, she whiled away the time by making Elliott Smith memes and sharing them online. So in this interview, we talk about why Elliott Smith makes for good memeable content. We discuss whether the person you're dating should or shouldn't be an Elliott Smith fan, and Lily also tells us the profound impact her favourite song pick has had on her life. So here's Lily O'Farrell.
My name is Lily O'Farrell, and I am a feminist writer and cartoonist, and most people know me as Vulgar Drawings, which is kind of my online pseudonym. And I am a huge diehard Elliott Smith fan.
Perfect. And I think just to start us off, it would be great to hear your Elliott Smith fan origin story. So how did you become a fan?
So me and my brother are very close. He's 2 years older than me, and he is just like, he knows the most about music than anyone I've ever met, and he composes it. And so he introduced me to pretty much every artist I like. And when I was 16, we were revising at the kitchen table together. He was revising his A-levels, I was doing my GCSEs, and he's playing Say Yes on his laptop. And I was like, what is this song? I love the song. And he said, it's Elliott Smith. And then he made me a mixtape, like a CD. And I just absolutely fell in love with it, more so than my brother. And I'd be like, have you heard this unreleased track? Have you come across the YouTube channel? Have you read like this, you know, Wikipedia page? Have you listened to Heat Miser, this band, before he went solo? And he's like, no, I'm still on Radiohead. So so he was really into that kind of music. And he also was really into what a lot of people, I disagree with this, but a lot of people associate Elliott Smith with like sad boy kind of acoustic indie. But that's what I kind of loved about Elliott Smith, is that I started on Say Yes and like, you know, Pizzola and those kind of like more lyric based songs, and then really actually fell in love with his high production albums like Figure Eight and From a Basement on the Hill.
Great. And that leads us in nicely to the song that we're going to talk about today, which is Happiness. How do you remember the moment when you first heard Happiness, or even the moment when it kind of really clicked for you as a song that you loved?
I just remember I would get the bus to school, and you know, British autumn and winters are like, you know, it's dark until about 9 a.m. And then it's dark again at about 4. So all my bus rides would always kind of be really beautiful, but quite melancholy, like pink skies. And I would listen to Elliott Smith every day on the way to school and every day on the way home. And I think I just hadn't really come across Happiness before. And then it just came on like a shuffle. It just like wasn't even in my top tracks at that time for years and years of listening to him. And I just, it got to the end, you know, the lines that like everyone loves, a really sweet moment where he's like, all I want now for you is happiness for you and me. And he talks about like his old self passing away. And I just started crying. I just thought, and I was like 17 and like obviously very hormonal, very emotional. And I just was like, this is the most beautiful bit of, because obviously it's like a really high production song, and then it goes to acoustic guitar, and then it goes to just him singing a cappella. And I just was like, this is, yeah, it was very romantic. And there's not actually many stories like that for me in his songs, but I was just fully looking out the window with a tear streaming down my face, listening to this man, thinking like, I wish that he was still alive so I could go and see him live. From then on, it just became a song that I listened to and never got sick of. And I actually became really into the 1999 live performance that he did that I found on YouTube. I think it was Paris. I'm not sure. And it's way more, obviously, because it's live, but it's really stripped back. And obviously when he sings live, his voice is very like fragile, I think. And I downloaded that on like, you know, YouTube to MP3 converter and played it on my iPod Nano, whatever I had at the time when I was 17. And that's actually the song that I probably ended up listening to most. But yeah, so that's my origin story. Activity's killing the actor. And a cop standing out in the road, turning traffic away. There's nothing she could do until after.
Your version is perhaps a deeper cut than the figure eight version. We're going with 1999 solo acoustic. That's absolutely your preferred version, well, is it?
Well, I don't know, because the reason why I picked it, because the thing is it came out as a single first, right? And then it came out in figure eight. And the reason why I picked figure eight version of it is because that is just an era of Elliott Smith that I really love and that I really think of when I think of him. And I think a lot of people think of like Between the Bars and lots of his more popular songs, and there's, you know, this whole thing of the Smith myth, mm-hmm. of everyone saying that he's this kind of like depressed, you know, teenage boys love him. And I really don't like that, because I think that what I love about his high production albums, songs like King's Crossing, is that he's like a real energetic kind of political activist. Like all of his, I find lots of his songs really motivating. They all have this like political or like social commentary undercurrent. And I think to say that he's like a depressed guy, obviously he was, but like a, you know, representing like emo kids or whatever, I think it takes away, it kind of gives him like an apathetic image, and it takes away some of the energy that I think he has, like this kind of like punk energy that I love.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked it on figure eight, because I think that figure eight really represents that change in his career to more like high production and more like angry music. And I love that. And that's what I love about Heat Miser too, all the angry songs.
Yeah. Okay, we can stay on the figure eight version then. And let's dig a bit deeper. You mentioned the refrain at the end. Are there any other kind of real aspects of this song that you love?
I love the drums at the beginning. He's great at that. I think Coast to Coast is another great example of that. But no, I just love the big drums. I also love the you know, the little surprise at the end, the gondola man.
Yeah,
we don't have gondolas here, but that's, you know, it's the boat where you like, you stand in your, yeah,
you're imagining Venice.
Because I love that, because Venice is what I'm thinking of. Yeah, I've never been, but you know, I've seen the movies, I've seen the romance montages. I love it because I think that it's just like weird and great. And that's what I love about his music. It's like there's always little surprises. And that's why I think hardcore fans listen to his music again and again and again and don't get bored, because every time I listen, I'm like, wait, what? Like, I didn't spot that the first time or the second time. And, you know, with Happiness, I listened to it loads and always kind of skipped it when it got to the end without staying on for those extra like 20 seconds of this like cool kind of weird trippy guitar solo. So that's why I like that version, and that's why I love Figure Eight and From a Basement from the Hill as well, From a Basement on the Hill, because they all have this like hidden, you know, what's the word, like mushrooms, or when you're like, you're like looking for something and it's like a hidden secret, like a crystal.
An Easter egg.
That's it. They all have Easter eggs. I think all his songs have Easter eggs. And this one has a real one at the end. Yeah. So that's why I picked it. I told him that he shouldn't upset her, and that he'd only be making it worse.
After you picked it, I was looking back through an article from Clash magazine a few years ago, and there was something that really stood out to me in their discussion of happiness, where they say, and I'm going to read this, and it's maybe slightly too long a passage, but when they talk about when he sings, "What I used to be will pass away, and then you'll see, all I want now is happiness for you and me," they say it seems like overkill until the soft breaks of Smith's voice indicate that the words are more like a mantra that he's trying to will into existence, rather than something he actually expects to happen. Is that something that kind of resonates with you? Do you think it's like slightly hopeful rather than something that he is expecting to happen, as they say?
But that's nail on the head. I think that's why it's such a moving song, because I think it's bittersweet, and all of his music and him is quite bittersweet, because the way he's like, this part of me will pass away and then you'll see. He's like, I promise, I'll show you. I promise it's going to happen. And I know that it didn't for him. And that's why that's so sad. And I know that he wrote the song when he moved to LA with his girlfriend, and it was like a new beginning. And he was really hopeful about the future. And I also think that love is like a very hopeful thing. I think the song is really hopeful, but it is bittersweet because it's a promise. It's not yet been fulfilled. And obviously, as we all know, it's like really sad that that relationship broke down and that his life ended so soon. But yeah, I think I resonated with it in that bittersweet way, because I think whilst it's a great love song, those particular lyrics at the end, it's a great love song. I think it's also a great breakup song, because I always think that, you know, with every relationship I've had, I really like that kind of thing of parting ways and like wishing happiness for someone but not really ever wanting to see them again. Like, there's this quote from this writer that I like, which is like, I hope that you get everything you've ever wanted and I hope I never hear a thing about it.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a great quote, and it kind of reminds me of that. It's like, you know, in a relationship you can want the most happiness for someone, and then when you break up with someone too you can want that. So I think that's why it's always been such a great soundtrack to my life, this song, whether I'm in love or whether I'm not. It's like just wanting happiness for someone. It's just like the purest, simplest, kind thing. I just think it's it's beautiful. And I've been listening to Elliott Smith so I'm 28 now, since I was 16, almost every day. So it's like this, he's become this like soundtrack to my life in my 20s, which means he's also been the soundtrack to every romance I've ever had, and this song's really been at the center of that. I always send it to men that I date, and it's like sad, but it's a good gauge. It's a good audition to send it to people I date. They're like, what do you think of this song? It's my favorite song ever. And if you don't like it, this relationship will end.
So what then are like, what are the reactions of people when, is there a divide in the Elliott Smith fans and the people that aren't fans? What's the kind of general reaction when you send it to potential love interests?
So I'm really on the fence about when I start dating someone and they really like Elliott Smith, because I really worry that if the relationship has a kind of traumatic ending, that it will taint listening to him. So like, I've only ever had my heart broken twice, and both times it was by men who were like obsessed with Bob Dylan. So now I can't listen to Bob Dylan anymore, and now I kind of stay clear of men who like Bob Dylan. And it's so sad because I really like his music. But I can't listen to it. It's tainted. So, but I think Elliott Smith, because I started listening to him when I was 16, and because it has this just much deeper, I have this much deeper love for him. I kind of think that it's unconditional, and me and him in my head have a friendship that goes, that's much more powerful than any situationship with some lame guy. So you know, the reactions that I've had are most people are like, oh, I've heard of that guy. He's like the depressed one, right? They're like, oh, it's like, you know, but then when you actually, when I've dated musicians, actually, they're the ones that are really into him because they're like, oh my God, his guitar picking is insane. And they try and learn his songs, like Angela's or something, a song that has really advanced guitar picking, and it blows their mind. So I found, yeah, you know, I'm not gonna be crazy and just like bin someone because I don't like him, but it is an important part of me. It's like one, it's like a huge love of mine, and it's important to me that they like that. And it's also, Elliot Smith has been the catalyst for so much other music that I love, because through him I discovered Heat Miser and that whole scene. So I discovered loads of bands I like Pavement and Fugazi and stuff like that that I just wouldn't have really discovered without him. And the covers that he's done that I, you know, went back and found the original, like John Lennon covers and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I completely agree. Like his covers are a great way of discovering other songs. I remember interviewing Phoebe Bridgers for this podcast, and she said that Big Star was a band that she massively got into on the back of hearing Elliot Smith cover them. And yeah, like even songs when I was much younger and I hadn't, like Waterloo Sunset, when I first listened to Elliot Smith's cover of that, I was probably like 15 or 16 on YouTube, and I hadn't actually heard the original version of that song. And that sort of like opened up a whole new world for me. So yeah, the stuff that he does is in addition to his own music kind of can really teach you a lot about music history too.
Totally, totally. That whole, I didn't even know Portland was, I knew it was a cool city. I didn't know it had like such a music history to it. So I went back and learned so much through that. But his, how much he adores the Beatles as well, that made me interested in the Beatles, because everyone our age has a dad that like loves the Beatles, and that's boring because it's your dad. But when Elliot Smith loves the Beatles, it made me have an interest, because it was like, oh well, it must be good. And then you really hear the Beatles influence in some of his songs, I think, especially the high production ones.
So we've spoken about happiness, we've spoken about covers. Are there any other songs, Elliot Smith songs, that you love that you wanna talk about?
Well, I love King's Crossing because I love the lyrics. What I love about his songs is that they are all really like cinematic. So they describe such like a specific, you know, everything down to someone's outfit and how they're dressed. And I think it really makes you picture something. But whilst these are such specific stories, I think they're all incredibly relatable. So like King's Crossing, I love because I think it represents that energy that he has, that like angry energy that I love. And then I love his, you know, Grand Mal Studio Rarities, the YouTube channel of all his kind of unreleased.
Yeah.
He has a song on there called Abused,
yeah,
which is just like heart-wrenching, but I love it because it's really... It has like a...
That one cuts straight to the point, doesn't it?
Cuts straight to the point. The lyrics, yeah, they're very like, you really cinematic, really upsetting, but also it has that great angry energy again that I love, where it goes from this like twinkly kind of sad, tearful verse to this like heavy metal chorus, which I love. Pitsler, I just... That song kills me. I recently learned that it means little one in Yiddish, which I think is really sweet. And it's about his ex-girlfriend's dad. I just think I just love that song. I think it's just another bittersweet song that's like, you know, you deserve better than me. I think it's so sad, but I love it. I could go forever, but I just think my favorite albums for me, yeah, are Figure Eight and From a Basement on the Hill, because I think every person who loves Elliot Smith, well, they often seem to go through that route of first discovering his acoustic-y sounding songs, like songs from Roman Candle or Either Or, and then you watch as you progress with him into XO and then to Figure Eight and From a Basement, where it's just these huge production values with so many instruments, and I'm sending my brother these links and I'm like, what is this instrument? What is this? What is this? What is this computer effect? There's like so much going on. And then in Coast to Coast, there's a guy reading out a poem and you're like, sick. But then he messes up the poem, but I still love that he kept that in. He like stutters over his words and he keeps it in. I'm like, I love that. It's so authentic. So I guess there is something to it that I think this, a lot of his songs are about love, but the songs that I love are the ones that are about breakups and capitalism. Those are the two that seem to hit home for me.
Okay, well, we can take the capitalism point, and then that can move us to the next section where clearly the work that you do has a strong kind of political, social element to it. Does the music of Elliot Smith kind of, do you relate to it because, you know, you're interested in these topics? Elliot Smith has that, as you say, there's some sort of like political social commentary running through it as well.
Yeah, totally. I pretty much always listen to music when I draw. So, and I draw for hours and hours. And I have this playlist called Songs to Draw and Cry To, which I've shared with loads of people, and it's got loads of his music on it. And I do find it very calming when I listen to his music, and it really does help me draw, especially his instrumental songs. They're really great as like a soundtrack for that. But his political background, I read about in Torment Saint, the book about him, the biography. And I know that he went to like quite a political university and always had that. He's like political philosophy, I think. So he always had that interest, and you could totally hear that in his lyrics. I also really like the way that he writes about women. So that is my day job. I'm a feminist cartoonist, and I'm really obsessed with movies and pop songs that talk about women in ways that are they're not real. So like the Manic Pixie Dream Girl, or like this pedestaled whatever. But what I love about his songs is every single, you know, description of a woman that he has is just a complex, flawed human being who might be evil or annoying or older than him, and not like some 19-year-old girl at a bar, which like feels like a lot of what people, you know, that someone they can like deflower. Whereas with Elliot Smith, it's like, in Roman Candle, he talks about this like older woman with cowboy boots who's got like litter, and she's got loads of rubbish in her car and it smells. Like, I love that. And then he talks about in King's Crossing how he's going to marry a white lady, a rich white lady, and everything's going to be fine. And just like every single woman in his song, and the way he talks about his mum too is heartbreaking. I know that Waltz Number 2 is about her, right? She gets like a new boyfriend or a stepdad that he doesn't like, and it's like, okay, you're going to be taken away from me now, and that's it. So I think there is a complexity to the way he writes about women that I've always been really attracted to. Unlike, you know, songs like One Direction, where it's like, you don't know you're beautiful and that's why you're beautiful. It's like, ick. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to listen to these songs. I want to listen to Elliot Smith describe a middle-aged cowgirl. Or like Cecilia Amanda, which is a great unreleased song about a sex worker that he's like friends with, who has a baby. And I just think, yeah, it's just like amazing autobiographical stories, biographical stories about women that he's met. And Everything Reminds Me of Her is another one that I just think is so beautiful. And I love listening to songs by men who are obsessed, who just like worship women. And I just think that he does. It's very obvious that he does.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's a very interesting point. And I mean, in the many interviews we've done on this podcast, I haven't really sort of touched on that aspect before. And do you think that's related to, obviously, you know, his own sort of feelings and views and everything, but also his kind of attest to his like storytelling ability and his ability to create these characters in his songs as well?
Totally. I think, you know, the interviews that I've listened to on this podcast from people who've known him that you've interviewed, but also like, I have Autumn de Wilde's book of all the pictures of him, and I know that she really loved him. And the way that people speak about him is that he had this ability to just kind of see straight through you, and was so kind of like kind and a great listener and such a great friend, that I totally think that comes across in his lyrics when he's describing someone as if he's known them for 10 years, but he's just met them. And it's kind of terrifying, how he's just like able to see your entire backstory, all your insecurities, all your flaws. But I think that shows why he seems like such a empathetic person. And it's, I love that. But, so someone who I think is a great example of this is like Loudon Wainwright III. I really like his music, and I really wish I could separate the art from the artist, but sometimes I really struggle because I know, you know, he has this one song that I love that does sound a lot like Elliot Smith's early songs, and it's called Motel Blues.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm familiar with that song.
He describes, you know, the song. Yeah. It's a great song. I love it. But in it, he describes like making out with this 19-year-old girl in a club. And I'm like, oh, like, you know, it's fine. It's legal, you know, I'm sure. But it just makes me feel icky because I've been that 19-year-old girl. And now at 28, I look back and I just, and there's never any of that with Elliot Smith songs. There's no ego. There's like no, I think it's also because he saw himself as like inferior, even though he wasn't. Everyone said that who met him was that he didn't think he was talented at all. You know, like people like Nick Drake as well. But I just, so I don't have any icky feelings for any of his songs when he describes women, but that has become annoyingly a real barrier for me when I'm trying to listen to old men that I love, like Leonard Cohen. I love him, but sometimes when he describes having sex with women, I'm like, oh man, that's, that's gross. Or that's just like, you know, Elliot Smith never does that.
No, he's he doesn't.
Like, I guess he's swimming with a personality.
He saw himself maybe as more of an outsider, and I suppose like he didn't have the ego in the same way that those people did. Your Loudon Wainwrights or Leonard Cohen.
Yes, totally. He doesn't have an ego. And the outsider thing I really like because I once read this essay by a feminist writer, but I can't remember her name, but she says that no one understands the struggles of a teenage girl like Thom Yorke. I thought that was really funny because people associate Radiohead with men and teenage boys, but that's how I feel about Elliot Smith too, is that there is an assumption that it's like a real male audience, but actually I have so many female friends who adore him and really he really speaks to them. And I think it is that outsider thing. I think there's something very lonely about being a 14-year-old girl. And I know that when I was 16, I found so much comfort in him of talking about watching the world happen in front of you and kind of not really knowing where you fit in.
I want to move on slightly to talk about how I first ever spoke to you, which was, as we recently discovered a couple of years ago, when you, in the midst of lockdown, it was January 2021, here in the UK, we just got into another lockdown. We didn't know when we were going to come out. And you had been spending, was it the previous year, posting some Elliot Smith memes onto Reddit?
Totally. So what had happened was that year I had like started posting cartoons online and my account had blown up, which was really great. And I was able to quit my job and I got a book deal and I had like 100,000 followers online, which was crazy. But I was obsessed with how many people were liking my Elliot Smith memes on the subreddit, the Elliot Smith subreddit. And my friends and family at the time, I kept on being like, look, I made this Elliot Smith meme and all the fans upvoted it and it got 21 upvotes. And they're like, Lily, you have 100,000 followers on Instagram. Why do you care about this? And it also, because it's Reddit, it was anonymous, but I just became obsessed with spending my time, you know, in lockdown, people made banana bread, they learned a language, whatever, they became depressed, they became alcoholics. For me, it was making incredibly niche Elliot Smith memes about his lyrics and then uploading them to Reddit and just like refreshing them every 30 seconds to see how many upvotes they got.
Do you think Elliot Smith is good memeable content? What kind of the sources of humor in there?
It's good memeable content because there are pinpoints in his songs that everyone can relate to as like the heartstrings moment. So you can say like, you know, three words, four words. Like if I were to say in one of those memes I reference in Pizzola when he says, give up the thing you love, and then the piano solo starts. I could just say that and you know exactly what bit of the song I'm talking about. And that's the bit where you get like a lump in your throat. So that's why I think, I also think there is, I don't know why, but I do think there is a you know, Elliott Smith fans are known to be like quite extreme. And I don't know why that is. And that's why there's a parody of the Elliott Smith subreddit called the Elliott Smith Circle Jerk, which is also very funny. I guess, I don't know, there's something about his fans that just like know his life and his lyrics inside out. So I can reference something so niche and so in depth that you just immediately pick up on it. But I also think it's that, like we said, the really descriptive lyrics. You don't forget images like the skinny Santa in King's Crossing, or like, you know, a Christmas tree with needles and trying not to get carried away with tools on a dentist's tray. Just like, it's so cinematic that I think that's why they're great memes. But I also think it's, again, part of that like Smith thing we're talking about. His songs have a lot of humor in them too, and I think people really overlook that, and they're also very political, so they're perfect for memeing. The only thing I guess that I wanted, that I, you know, has part been the journey for me with listening to his music, is I would just really urge people to listen more to his later albums, because I just think that I think they're like the best ever. I think he died when he was experimenting with his music, and you really feel that, and it's so I really just love how cinematic it is and high production. And I could listen to those albums, I think, more than the earlier ones over and over again, because there are so many layers to them. So I would urge people to listen to From a Basement on the Hill and Figure Eight more, especially like the extended cuts. And I would also urge people to listen to Grand Mal Studio Rarities, the YouTube channel, which is just like, it's like 100 different, you know, not released Elliott Smith tracks. And they're, it's like a chocolate box. It's just, it's so sad that some of them aren't out there, because they're amazing. And you, what I also love about it is you hear like alternative versions and different cuts of songs from the albums that were never made, or you really just like hear the work in progresses. And there are so many themes that come up again, like his stepdad Charlie, who he hates. You always hear about Charlie and his mom. And I just think, yeah, so, and I really like how he gets more political towards his later albums too. So yeah, I guess all I wanted to say is that those ones are the ones that I love. And Elliott Smith has been a real comfort blanket in times of happiness and times of sadness. And that's what I love about that song, Happiness. It's like, it's a soundtrack to anything, you know. It's very versatile. It's like the song equivalent of like a great pair of jeans. It goes with like any occasion, you know what I mean? Like, I can listen to it when I'm so sad and heartbroken, and I can listen to it when I'm like walking down the street and it's summer and I'm drinking an iced coffee. Like, that's the breadth of that song. So yeah, if he's listening, yeah, thank you for being the soundtrack to my tragic 20s. Thank you.
So thank you very much to Lily O'Farrell for being a guest on my favourite Elliot Smith song. And do check out her podcast, No Worries If Not Too. It's definitely worth a listen. That's pretty much all we have time for on this episode. Just the usual reminders before we finish that you can get in touch with us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, or X if you want to call it that. We're there on all of those platforms at My Fave E. Smith Song. So to close out this episode, I thought it would be nice to revisit Happiness. Here's a clip of our friends Kalebo playing it at our recent tribute show in London. Thanks for listening and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. My Favourite Elliot Smith Song is produced by Rob Comber and Elizabeth Woodstanley. You can find out more about the show at myfavouriteelliotsmithsong.com.